The Times is sponsored in part by Bob Johnson Insurance, an independent, full-service agency featuring Erie Insurance products, is celebrating over 55 years, insuring East Tennesseans from auto, home, life, and so much more. For a personalized, no-obligation quote, they can be reached at 865-922-3111 or online at bobjohnsonins.com.
Meds for Stat has underwritten this edition of Signs of the Times. Meds for Stat is medications to prepare you for such a time as this. Meds for Stat provides access to medication kits containing an emergency supply of possibly life-saving antibiotics as well as other medications and a treatment guide. Go to medsforstat.com or phone 1-888 RX for Stat.
Current events,
personal values,
political and social issues,
technology, wars, and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's prophetic word as signs of the times.
The spirit of Antichrist is very busy working on a new world order. And did someone order up a lot of anti-Semitism? Because we're overstocked with Jew hate. Now, we hate to say it, but we've got more familiar earthquakes and unfamiliar bugs to talk about. And don't be bugged by what Peter Thiel says, but maybe what he says might come true. Whether the rumors are true or the truth is a lie, they're all part of the Signs of the Times, our weekly review of Bible prophecies in the world's news for Friday, September 5th, 2025. You can listen or watch any of our episodes again. You can share them with someone who wouldn't believe it unless they heard it. You can read the articles we talk about. We always encourage you to do that. Or you can ask Pastor Mark a prophecy question when you simply visit the Signs of the Times section on thewaymedia.net or just grab our Way Media app from the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. And now, here's someone who snores so loudly that it scares everyone, especially when he's driving, and that's Pastor Mark, who just finished watching a show called 10 Ways to Avoid a Shark Attack and was surprised that Stay Out of the Water wasn't on the list.
That's kind of logical.
That's common sense, isn't it?
It really is. Yeah. And as far as the driving thing, you know, I've heard, I can't prove this, something like you blink something like 5 minutes an hour. So what I usually do is I'll just hit...
Save all your blinks?
No, I'll just close my eyes the first 5 minutes I'm driving, and then I don't blink for the rest of the 55. It works out great.
Works out great.
If you survive that first five, you're good to go.
Oh, that's funny. Okay, before we get to articles and before we get to the things that you want to talk about, I want to do a little show housekeeping because this is our last live show until September 26th because you are heading off to Israel for 2 weeks. So we will be gone September 12th, September 19th, but the air will not be dead. It will be filled with the prophecy pros bringing you what they shared with us here probably a couple weeks ago.
Yes. Hadn't been long at all.
It hasn't been long at all. And so these guys are great. You're going to enjoy them and enjoy the content that they're going to share. It's going to be enriching. So don't tune out. Tune in on the 12th and the 19th for the prophecy pros that will be filling in for Pastor Mark while he is enjoying all things Israel and will come back with, I'm sure, many updates.
Yes, absolutely. I will. For sure.
Now, speaking of Israel, you have an update.
I do. I want to talk about a couple of things before we jump into the articles. You know, so much is going on, guys, right now in Israel. Look, they're closing in on finishing off the Gaza Strip war. And that is Gaza City, which is the capital of the Gaza Strip. They have started the offensive. If you've been watching the news, you've been seeing, they've been saying, we're going in at any time. Well, it has begun. The ground, they've started moving on the ground. They're definitely smaller on the ground at this point, but right now they're already taking out the buildings. I was watching some video today. They do what they always do. They're sending in these leaflets. They're letting everyone know, get away from this building, get away from this area. We're going to blow that up. I mean, what army does that? Israel is so conscientious to warn their enemies before they blow up their buildings and still everybody attacks them and says how horrible they are. We don't do that. America doesn't say get away from that building. I mean, I'm not saying it hadn't happened, but Israel does that all the time. So now they let people know, get away from these buildings. And they're taking down the high rises, Greg. And I've been watching a video of several of these that they shoot these missiles to the bottom of and these things just collapse.
Yeah, Mir's got some videos on his feed. Yeah.
Yeah. And so they're already starting now to dismantle Gaza City, and they are starting to move in to close in. So what's going to happen is now they're going to close in on Hamas, the remaining Hamas leadership. They're either going to rescue the hostages or the hostages will be killed as they're getting closer. Either way, that's what's underway. And so it has to happen. This cannot go on indefinitely. And believe me, Hamas would carry it on indefinitely.
Yes,
if they
would. Yeah.
So keep watching that, because now this is a big deal that's happening. Now you're going to see. Let me tell you what to watch for. Satan's going to jump up and down and just scream, you know, like Yosemite Sam, and the whole world's going to join him and be furious. These horrible Israelis and all the horrible things. They're killing children, blah, blah, blah. They're going to say all these things. Guys, there are so many lies going on about what's happening in Gaza. The Israelis have allowed in. They haven't brought, they've sent aid in, but what they've sent in plus what they've allowed in is something like 2 million tons of food. That's 1 ton per person. 1 ton of food per person that Israel has allowed in and or sent in. The problem is Hamas steals it. Now, a lot of it is still there. A lot of restaurants, you see food everywhere when you see the videos coming out. So it's not like they're all starving. There may be some that wish they could get food more easily because Hamas steals it all. But they're not starving. As a matter of fact, the famine pictures, they keep showing these babies famine pictures. The ones that have been from that area they've shown, Greg, they have some other illness. It's not even from the food. It's another illness that's causing them that. And we know that now because we have other videos and pictures from different times when those children were used for different things at different times. Some of the pictures they're showing of the children aren't even in Gaza. They're in other countries. And they'll take a picture of somebody in Africa starving and they show the picture and say, Gaza, people are starving to death. No, they're not. That has nothing to do with Gaza. They're lying. You're being lied to about the food situation. You're being lied to about, look, okay, when there's war, do children die? Yes. And women, and men, and animals, everything that can be around a bomb dies in war. Is it horrible? Yes. Does God hate it? Yes. But it's called war. They're not targeting children. They're not targeting anything. You can find pictures of anybody that's been killed in any war and say, look, they're doing this. These are all lies. They're trying to take out Hamas. Hamas hides behind children. So sometimes children are affected, but it's not Israel's fault. It all falls on the head of Hamas. It's their fault. They're the ones putting their children in danger. And again, there's not an excessive number of children dying any more than any other war. It's just they're magnifying that aspect of it to try to play on the emotions of people. And so, yes, we grieve when anyone, especially children, are harmed. But it's called war. And so they're making it look like that Israel's going in and purposefully trying to kill the children. That is a lie. They're going in trying to heal Hamas and the evil leadership of Hamas and to go in there and defeat their enemies. And so, again, pay no attention to this stuff about the famine, about the children. Again, there are so many sources, even mainstream sources like Fox News that have gone in and said, this is all a lie. The ambassador to Israel, Governor Huckabee, ex-Governor Huckabee, said it's all a lie. He's gone in there. He looks at all of it. He said, this is not happening. You're being lied to. It is something Satan is doing to paint a wrong picture of what's happening to turn the world against Israel. And sadly, it's working to a degree.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to hear.
And we've got an article on that later.
Well, you're going to hear a lot more of that. Because again, what's going to happen is, Greg, they're going to take all kinds of select pictures as they're clearing areas out or as maybe an area is attacked. And they're going to present it as these evil Israelis and what they're doing. No, it's called war, and we're going after the bad guys, and there's going to be some casualties, sadly, all around that, but we're going to go get them, try to rescue our hostages that are in there. So get ready for a gigantic smear campaign, an attack campaign, and really, you may see some more violence in America the more this ramps up over the next month or two. They had this big radical, it was a radical Muslim rally in Michigan this past week, where one of the speakers, who apparently is well known among that group, was saying, look, we've waited long enough to just have rallies. It's time to start killing people. And so you need to look here in America at officials. It's time for them to be rounded up. And he's saying basically kill them.
We've got that's in our story.
Yeah.
So well, yeah. No, maybe it's not. No,
well,
that was on.
Way, yeah. Either way, that's what's going on. So I'm saying this is getting interesting. So Satan's going to pitch a big hissy fit. And you're going to see all this kind of nonsense going on when they talk about it. So now that we're really closing in, remember, the closer you get to taking out the enemy, the more noise he's going to make. So just be ready over the next few weeks. You know, I'll be over there. There won't be any danger for us. But, of course, I'll be hearing it from their viewpoint, which would be great.
Our field reporter, Pastor Mark.
I'm actually going to try to do some phone updates and send back to the body if I can for little clips for the video, you know, whatever, at different spots. But either way, I wish we could have them for you guys on the radio. We can't really do that. But if we have them on our website, you might check, because I may try to send some things back from Jordan. We go there first, and then we'll be heading into Israel. And so either way. Again, just keep your eye on that, because that's going to get very, very interesting. Now, another thing to watch is going to be another, or to give you an update on, you know, this AI technology. They knew this was going to take off and really just go once it did. And that's part of the fear of it. Where does it stop? You know, because it kind of feeds off of itself and adds super intelligence to super intelligence. And then where do we go? But that's in a robot or a computer, not a human with any morals. But it's interesting, Greg, and from time to time, you know, I hear some of these as I'm doing my prophecy things, and I'll go listen to different people and different sites or whatever, and run across some of this tech news. I was running across some of it today where they're talking about AI that will be in these little nanobots that are going to be a lot smaller than they are now. And they're tiny. They're basically tiny robots that you can inject into your body. Some even say they might have been injected, you know, in the COVID shots and all for as part of the fighting the protein things or whatever.
Oh, those vaccines, what they were calling a vaccine.
Yeah, I don't know. Again, I don't know the details of that. I'm not going to get that. I'm just saying that. But they're saying the technology is there now to do a lot of this. And in the midst of all that, they're saying these can be used to actually regenerate your body. In other words, the way now they can take like the DNA and the cells from meat and then and print meat, as gross as that sounds, gross. They can take your DNA or your cells from your liver, your kidney, your heart, whatever, and print new kidneys and livers and heart, they're saying, and all that. And they're saying in the future, near future, they're claiming they'll be able to put these nanobots in you, and it might even be connected to the market at some point. We'll see, because it'd be a draw for people to live longer or live forever. And your body kind of self-generates. It's kind of like you could, if your liver goes bad, it'll make a new liver. If any other part goes bad, it just kind of makes it. Now, whether or not they can do that or not, I don't know. But I'm saying that's the talk that's out there. And so it's interesting in light of, again, I don't know what it's going to be like when it talks about in Revelation. It says, you know, I was hearing one guy say today that, you know, when it talks in Revelation about they'll want to die, but they can't. And he was saying, what if it's these nanobots that keep regenerating body parts and all that kind of stuff? And I thought, well, that's an interesting theory. I don't know whether or not that's going to be the case. But either way, AI technology is stepping into a whole new realm that is amazing. I mean, they're talking about being able to grow teeth back now. And you think about when you get old and you can't chew and suddenly you can grow your teeth back and have healthy teeth. I mean, that would be pretty cool. Look, there are things.
Yeah, it would.
There are some things that could be very, very cool about this. But at the same time, when it's in the hands of the Antichrist and Satan, it's going to be very, very wicked. So we'll see. Only God knows how this is all going to pan out. But it's very interesting to look at some of the technology, some of the things that are happening. I think the main thing for I want you guys to be looking at these next couple of weeks, and really starting right now, is more and more ramped up hatred against the Jews because of what they're doing in Gaza, and maybe even, I don't know, maybe a little bit more aggressive rallies. You know, it's interesting. This past week, we saw one of these rallies, it might have been a Free Palestine rally. I forget what the cause was, but they started shooting fireworks at the police. And in one way, that seems harmless. No, you could really get hurt.
You can really get
hurt.
They're
shooting fireworks in this whole big thing where they're blowing up and shooting at the police. So it's gone to firing at police, but it's a way they can do it. Well, I didn't fire a gun. I didn't do whatever. So they're upping the ante. So get ready. We may see some more unrest in American streets before things calm down. And it may be connected to really push by the Israel thing. And note this, there's so many lies about Israel. They've worked people up so much, making them think that genocide. Ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Their population has grown since October 7, 2023. What nation goes in to commit suicide and increases the population? It's absurd. So it's lies. Again, so you're being lied to about the famine. You're being lied to about genocide. You're being lied to about everything else with it. Just be ready. That causes people to get emotional, and they respond emotionally. And so it could get very interesting here sometime soon as Israel goes in to finally finish off what's going on with Hamas. But remember, I think God is simply getting rid of all of Israel's enemies all around them so we can get ready for the Ezekiel 38 and 39 battle. Because the setting of the Ezekiel 38 and 39 battle is that they'll be saying they're at peace with their you know, we live in peace now with unwalled villages and everything's great. And then suddenly, not so great. Remember, you had right now with was it yesterday, the big thing about Xi Jinping, and Russia and all these guys getting together over there, you know, that are trying to start a new world order from the East rather than the West. Yeah, we've got that article. But again, you get to this point, Greg, where it's like, okay, here's where we are. And what's it going to be that finally pushes the lever that makes them go? The world's mad enough. But if they claim all the West Bank is Israel, which they're already starting to do and build new things, that might be the, because then there's nowhere to put a Palestinian state. That might be the moment some of these guys go, you know what? We're going. So it's interesting. We don't know the timing, but boy, it is heating up. And I think that may be even our first article. So there's your update. Yes. I love it. I love it. Yes.
Oh, you're not going to breathe for me?
Right. No, that's great. That's okay. That's what comes on in your bathroom when you get up in the morning to get ready for work. You hit the light switch and that comes on.
Maybe your bathroom, but not mine. Okay, this is our article from Reuters dated September 1st. China's Xi is pushing a new global order flanked by the leaders of the empire.
Yes.
That's striking back of Russia and India.
That's right.
And some other folks, too.
That's right.
I think North Korea was involved in this as well.
I thought they were, but certainly here we have Chinese President Xi Jinping on Monday pressed his vision. Look at this, for a new global security and economic order for the empire and the force. I'm just kidding. A new economic order that prioritizes the global south. In a direct challenge to the United States, and by the way, they're getting right in the U.S.'s face here. You can see this kind of east and west are battling here. Now, here's what we know. The West is going to win. The East is not going to win. The West is going to rule the world in this global. They're trying to put their global government together, but they're not going to be successful in their global government. The West is going to win. We know that because there's going to be a revived Roman Empire. But either way,
yes,
they're trying now to do their own empire in a direct challenge to the United States during a summit that included leaders of Russia and India. And I quote, "We must continue to take a clear stand against hegemonism and power politics and practice true multilateralism," Xi said, in a thinly veiled swipe at the U.S.
Yes.
And President Donald Trump's tariff policies. "Global governance has reached a new crossroads," he added. Xi was hosting more than 20 leaders of non-Western countries at this summit. It was East versus West. "If the U.S. president and his acolytes," that is those lighting the candles, thought that they could use tariffs to pressure China, India, and Russia into submission, then that encounter says otherwise. China and India are the biggest buyers of crude oil from Russia, the world's second largest exporter. Trump has imposed additional tariffs on India over the purchases, but not on China. Xi did not set out any concrete measures in what he called his, and I quote, "global governance initiative." Isn't this great? Listen, Daniel chapter 2.
Yeah.
Tells us there'll be a revived Roman Empire in the last days. It will be a global government. So he is being led by the spirit of Antichrist. He doesn't know that, but he's being led by the spirit of Antichrist. However,
he's campaigning.
He is. However, it's going to be the West that'll have their global governance initiative that will be in place. And then these countries are going to have to come under that. Now,
that's going to be tough.
Hey, iron and clay.
I know.
Remember the toes?
Yes.
Part iron, part clay. Here's the bottom line. They're going to be forced. China, India, these that are fighting at Russia, they're going to be forced into this conglomerate world government by force, because that's the only thing they would do. It's either going to be massive economic pressures or by military power, but they're going to be forced into this revived Roman Empire. And that's why when you look in Daniel chapter 2, it talks about the 10 toes being these 10 nations that come together to form this government, the leadership of this world government. And it says it'll be like iron and clay. That is, the iron will rule because most of them will be together. Most of them will hold firm together like iron. But some of them are going to be like clay molded to the iron that's going to look like the toe, but it's not going to have the same strength. In other words, you bang that iron on the floor and that foot's going to last fine. You bang it with the down on the floor where the clay is, and it's going to start cracking up. So what happens is you're going to have this alliance that's going to last, remember, for a while. The 10 toes are going to make it. It says that the 7 years will begin where God deals with the nation of Israel prophetically, and also where God starts, again, working with the nations of the world. And for the first 3.5 years, you're going to have the iron and the clay. They're going to be getting along fine. But when you hit that midpoint where the Antichrist is going to stand in the third rebuilt temple, which is going to happen, and he's going to say that he's God, at that point, you're going to see everything begin to fracture. And when we get to the end of the 7 years, that final 7 years right before the second coming, you're going to see, it would appear, China, it's an army coming from the east with 200 million people. Who else but China could fill that? So I think it's probably going to be China. But it's going to be China and others at the very end gathering together at Armageddon. And that's where they're going to finally be able to battle the Antichrist. But they're not going to be able to, because if they all come together in this, you know, clash of the Titans type thing, that's when the Lord comes back from heaven and wipes them both out. It's like, Greg, the picture is they come together to fight each other. Suddenly the Lord appears in the clouds and they all turn their weapons toward him. What a joke. You think you're going to shoot at the Lord and have any? I mean, it's ridiculous. He's going to speak a word and everybody's going to be just annihilated.
What power does our Lord have?
I just can't wait. What's the word going to be? You know, I just want.
What's he going to say?
I don't know.
Stop. Cease.
Enough. I don't know. I wonder. You know, I just can't wait.
Is it really going to matter what word he says? Just the power of his word alone. Whatever word he chooses to speak is going to be enough.
And we're going to be with him in the clouds on the horses. We're going to be watching him going, "That's our King. That's our God. That's our King." Bam! I mean, it's going to be like, yes,
yes.
Listen, every child superhero dream is going to be fulfilled right there in one moment with Jesus Christ taking over the earth by power. And ruling in righteousness and love and peace and grace for 1,000 years, then making a new heaven and a new earth, and we rule and reign with him forever. It's just going to be, I can't wait. I wish it. Lord, come back today. Maranatha, come quickly. We're ready for you.
Especially when you're in Israel, right?
Yeah, that'd be great. I'd be great. Yeah, that would be wonderful to be there. You know, again, just to go up right there and see the Lord. I think that'd be awesome.
So let me amend. This might be our last live show. You know?
Yes, you never know.
We can't be friends because the enemy is hard at work, and boy, is he at work through his global media outlets. This is from the Jerusalem Post, dated September 1st. The global media, under the sway of the Antichrist,
yes,
is staged an Israel blackout in protest of the Gaza war.
An editorial protest. We will not sharpen our pencils. We will not use our erasers. We will not put our pocket protectors in our top pocket. We're not going to put it there. And if we got a tattoo that looks like that and our pocket holder tattoo, yes, well, then we're going to have it covered over with a patch until this protest is over. It says, for potentially the first time in modern history, over 200 media outlets across the globe participated in a large-scale editorial protest for Gaza on Monday. So let's take up for all the killers, murders, rapists, and let's don't say anything about
those. Oh, it's amazing, isn't it? Wow. I know.
The global media blackout was coordinated by Reporters with Borders.
Reporters Without Borders, I think.
Oh, you're right. Reporters Without Borders. You're right. No borders on those reporters.
But they do border on insanity.
You're exactly right.
Yes.
The International Federation of Journalists, the IFJ, and the campaign Movement of Oz. As part of the Land of Oz, almost.
Yeah. I was going to say, did you just make that up, or
no,
is that legit?
Ava Oz. Okay. Yeah, it's AVAAZ. So okay. As part of the blackout protests, print newspapers will run blacked out front pages. Broadcasters and radio stations will pause programming with a joint statement, and online outlets will black out their homepage or their banners in solidarity. What others are probably going to fold their journal book for a little while. I don't know. Broadcasters, the following message on the black TV screen or spoken over a metronome sound was encouraged. And here I quote, at the rate journalists are being killed in Gaza. Here's another huge lie. I can't wait to address this. It makes my head blow off. At the rate journalists are being killed in Gaza. Lies, 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 lies. Okay. I talked about this. This needs to be their theme song for the media. We talked about it, right? Didn't we? Remember Simon and Garfunkel? Lie, lie, lie.
Yes.
Lie, 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 lie. I had to finish it. Okay. At the rate the journalists are being killed in Gaza by the Israeli army, there will soon be no one left to keep you informed. And this is so
amazing.
In nearly 23 months, at least 210 journalists, I put that in huge air quotes, we'll come back to this, have been killed by the Israeli army in this territory, according to Reporters Without Borders. We and more than 150 other media outlets across the world condemn these crimes, and we will call on the Israeli authorities to allow independent access for the international press in the Gaza Strip. Now,
No, give me the names of the dead reporters.
You know, they'll give them to you. But here's what you don't know. See, here's the trick.
Okay.
This is exactly, I've watched the videos, Greg. Here's what they're doing. They're taking Hamas and putting reporter things on them. And they're going out with a mic and talking. Then they start shooting people. They turn on the mic. And so Israel kills them. Oh, you killed a reporter. No.
Oh.
I killed Hamas, who was pretending to be a...
Oh, this is like the schools and the hospital thing.
Well, you know, okay. Look, here's the thing it shows me. It's no different in Gaza than here. Everybody on TV now pretends to be a reporter.
Yes, this is very true.
Yeah, and they're...
Seriously.
And they pretend to be reporters there as well. It's lies. They have... What Israel have been doing brilliantly, but they haven't done it enough. They're getting pictures of these guys when they're in their terrorist activities and showing who they are and they're involved, whatever. Then they show them in the picture wearing their little reporter shirt and they hold a microphone. They said, it's the same thing. So what they're doing is... They're just pretending, and they're in there fighting, but they wear the reporter shirts and act like they're reporters. So when they find them, look, another reporter dead. Nonsense. They're not reporters. They're Hamas terrorists. These guys have won the battle of propaganda. Right now, Hamas is winning. They have beaten Israel. And there's one thing they've won in this war. It is propaganda battle. They are lying. Their lies are exposed, but only to those like us that are doing our homework. If you don't do your homework, you would believe these lies. Once you do your homework, you're like, wait a minute. This is the same guy over here that was going in and raping people and pulling them out of their homes. And now he's holding a microphone with a little shirt that says reporter. This is a lie. It's a setup. That's exactly what's happening. So pay no attention when you see this kind of stuff. They're lying about who the reporters are. The world just eats this up like it's real. And because nobody does their homework and because they don't know God and they're following the spirit of the age, they're deceived. And it's creating greater and greater anger against Israel, which again, the Bible said in the last days will happen. And the whole world's going to turn against them. I believe God's going to use that to break them and to bring them home and to turn their eyes to heaven. And many of them are going to be saved. And I can't wait. And again, it's just, but don't listen to this stuff. It's ridiculous.
All right. Our next article from the Gateway Pundit dated September 7th, or 2nd rather. This is, you alluded to this earlier, Pastor Mark.
Yes.
Speaker at Michigan's radical, quote unquote, People's Conference for Palestine calls for assassinations of U.S., Israeli, and European leaders who oppose a Palestinian statehood.
Yes, it is. Listen, Michiganistan.
Michiganistan.
It is turning into a Muslim state, quite literally, Greg. The new patches came out for the police.
I was going to ask you if you'd seen that.
Yes.
Yes, I saw that.
They have Arabic writing on them.
Yes, they do.
This is a very scary moment for our nation.
Yes, it is.
While we are, you know, playing our video games, they're taking our nation over.
Mm-hmm.
And the way they do it, here's what they do. They will openly say, we will pretend like we're going to be friendly, and we go along until we get enough power to overthrow you, and then we cut your head off.
Yeah.
And that's exactly, we're on the road we're on. You know what? I'm just glad that we're going to be out of here, man, with the rapture and everybody that's invited in the kingdom. I can't wait. But this is happening. But look at this. This guy right here should be arrested. At the so-called, well, freedom of speech, I get that, but boy, they better watch him.
But not when you're calling for the assassination of political or government leaders.
I hope that President Trump arrests. I hope they get arrested.
Yes.
At the so-called People's Conference for Palestine, a speaker openly called for political assassinations on U.S. soil. You know what? It's like, okay, here we go.
The enemy's within.
Yes, Nadal Jabour, who was previously arrested during the U.S. Capitol protest, took the stage this weekend and delivered a chilling tirade that sounded less like activism and more like a recruitment speech for terrorism. He cloaked his violent rhetoric in language about love for the children. That's exactly what Nancy Pelosi does. You know what Satan does? He gets people to speak about the children, love for the children, and then he brings in this evil. Because people are disarmed because of children. It's lies.
If they love the children so much, how come they don't expose what Jeffrey Epstein was doing and name names?
There is so much hypocrisy, Greg.
I mean,
anyway, he cloaked his violent rhetoric in language about love for children while simultaneously demonizing Jewish supremacists. And get this, that's you guys out there listening to me, Christian evangelicals.
Mm.
So we're them first and
we're on,
second.
We're on his hit list.
They want to kill us too. Who he claimed hold the thrones of power. Oh, my friend, we will. We will through Jesus Christ, the Lord of the universe.
Yeah.
We may be sheep right now, and we may be
part of our inheritance.
But we will be ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ, our great God and King, who's coming back very soon to rule with power and authority and glory. Anyway, Jabour made it clear that in his view, and I quote, speaking up isn't enough. Listen to this, Greg. Mm. This is where our officials better be on this. I'm sure they're watching him. Speaking up isn't enough. It's time to escalate and act. And I want to read his whole statement here.
Okay.
He says this. Gaza needs to be saved now. Let me just finish that sentence. That's right. So Israel go in and finish off Hamas. That should be the end of the article. But anyway, he says, Gaza needs to be saved now. It saved all of us, liberated all of us. It's time for us to pay back and stop the criminals, the perpetrators, the child murderers. Lies, lies, lies. And we all know who they are. We all know who they are, whether they are in Israel, Tel Aviv, Washington, Germany, or Europe. We all name them. We all know them. They need to be locked up. They need to be, here it is, they need to be taken out. They need to be neutralized to save children. Look how they're using this propaganda to save humanity. We are not saying this out of hate.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Sorry. Another, that was funny.
Yeah. Anyway, we are saying this out of love. That is love for murder, death, and evil. I added that part.
Yes, you did.
He says, love for children, love for life, love for humanity, where every life is equal, except... you know, except everybody we don't like.
Isaiah 5:20 stamped all over this guy.
We only hate the war criminals and the child murderers, he says. Well, then you're hating Hamas. So I guess you hate Hamas. Let me go on. He says, we need to act now. Speaking up alone is not enough. It's 2 years old. We've been speaking up for 2 years. Now it's time to escalate and to act, to get the murderers out, to save the children. Thank you. The war criminals and the migrants who are owning these systems, he says, they want the whole world to be owned by these few supremacists, whether they're Jewish supremacists or Christian supremacists or Christian evangelicals. Notice who Satan's attacking here. Satan is going after the Jew and the Christian. We've talked about it. Maybe we have new listeners who haven't heard this. But they have a chant in the Middle East that says, first Saturday, then Sunday. And that means first we kill all the Jews because we hate them the most. But a very close second are all the Christians. We kill them next. He's saying the same thing, Greg.
So did he say Christian supremacist and Christian evangelical?
He said Christian.
Because he makes a distinction
there? He made a distinction.
I wonder what that distinction is for him.
Oh, I'll tell you what it is. It is right now those that are talking about the political realm.
Oh.
The Christian...
That are... Okay.
What the name that you're a Christian something that would hit me in a minute.
Zionist?
No. Anyway, everybody's screaming at the radio right now going, Mark, how could you forget this? It'll hit me in a minute.
Okay.
But in politics, there's a group of people that don't necessarily promote the Lord as much as they promote Christianity in their politics, wanting to take over and make this a Christian nation, but Christian something. Anyway.
Okay.
Anyway, and Christian evangelical, that would be my guess. He goes on and says, it's now or never. We need to mobilize. If we wait 5 years, and that's, I'm quoting him, I'm singing him. If we wait 5 years, 10 years, their system will be so strong that we the people cannot fight it. We the people.
We the people.
We need to
borrow something from our Constitution, which you don't like.
Listen to this. We need to take the thrones of power from them. Here's where the violence comes in.
Yes.
And we the people need to create a better world and a better humanity for everyone. That's what Israel's doing right now in Gaza. They're trying to take Hamas out.
Yep.
And that's what they did with Hezbollah and the mullahs of Iran. I'm talking about the evil people. Look, not everybody in Gaza is evil. I'm sure there's some wonderful people in Gaza. Wonderful people there in Lebanon and Iran. Lots of wonderful people in Iran. All around, listen, this is not about any people group or nation. It's the evil people in those nations that they're taking out. And the sad thing is, yes, there may be casualties. Again, it's called war. But there's nobody more meticulous in protecting them, dropping flyers, warning them. How many people in battle say, okay, now we're about to send a bomb right to where you guys are, so everybody scoot out of the way? What are you talking about? You want the bomb to get your enemies if you're at war. So Israel is above and over the top protecting others, and they're simply trying to get the bad guys. Satan is using it to his greatest advantage. And man, I'll tell you, this stuff drives me crazy, but I know I'm so glad the Lord's in control, that he's on the throne, and that we have the truth and our eyes are opened.
That's Pastor Mark Kirk, who is helping us understand these crazy signs of the times. It's our weekly review of Bible prophecy in the world's news on WIAM LP Knoxville. It's a weekly radio broadcast that will become podcast episode number 379. Which is easier to follow than a recipe card handed down from your grandmother, because we've got no secret ingredients and no handwriting that looks like Egyptian hieroglyphics. And now,
you've got mail.
Two questions this week, Pastor Mark. Our first one comes from Chick, enjoying Signs of the Times right here in Knoxville. His question is regarding the resurrection of dead believers.
Yes.
When Jesus rose from the dead, did the bodies of all the pre-Christian era believers going back to Adam and Eve also rise from the dead? What about Matthew 27:52-53, where it says, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised and coming out of the graves after his resurrection. They went into the holy city and appeared to many. Does this mean that the bodies of the other dead saints were also raised, but that they went directly into heaven and not into the holy city? I thought they came out when, at the moment of his death.
Not
the moment of his resurrection.
No, it was at his resurrection.
Was it? Okay.
It's tricky. Read it without focusing, it looks like that. But then it makes the definition. It says, and after he resurrected, they came out of the graves, it says. So, yeah.
Because the big earthquake and all of that and the veil torn.
Well, their souls weren't released yet from paradise. That only happened when he came up. So let me
okay, back. Yeah.
First of
this
all, what
good.
A great question, Chick, yes. Because there's a lot of theology here I want to talk about. We're going to take a moment just to talk about this because it's a wonderful question. And I think theologically, people need answers. First of all, just this whole thing about people getting up and getting up from the dead and walking into Jerusalem after Jesus resurrected. That's wild enough. What's going on here? All right, here's the bottom line. The Bible says that no one could go to heaven until Jesus died on the cross and ascended. He had to die, he had to resurrect, and he had to ascend. And then after he ascended, now others can enter heaven because he is the door. And he himself said, no one has seen the Father but the Son. Of course, he was excluding the angels. Everyone knew the angels were there already. But what he meant was nobody's in heaven yet other than the angels. So the question then comes up, let me first of all answer this. So what happens when we die now? The Bible says to be absent from the body now is to be present with the Lord. So if we die today as believers, we go straight to heaven. But prior to the cross and his ascension, we did not. So the question comes up, well, where was Abraham? Where was Elijah? Where was Ezekiel? Where were these guys? The Bible says there was a supernatural place in the center of the earth called paradise. And part of it was Hades, which is a hot part. Paradise is where the believers went. And now when people die, when you died before Christ, if you knew the Lord, you would go to the heart of the earth in a place called paradise. Where do we see this? Well, several places in scripture. You could go and look at things. The best one is Luke 16, where the Lord talks about the rich man and Lazarus. Some people mistakenly think that's a parable. It's not, because the Lord uses an actual name, and he never uses names in parables because it makes it a real story. So we see there was a rich man and there was a man named Lazarus. The reason he didn't mention the rich man's name is the Bible says that the name of the unrighteous will be forgotten. So, but we have Lazarus, who's saved. He goes to Abraham's bosom, and we see the whole scene there where they're talking back and forth. The rich man's in the hot part, Hades, of the center of the earth. Paradise is the other part. So it was a supernatural paradise somehow. It's hard to imagine in the center of the earth, but it's just spirits. Nobody had their bodies yet, okay? So what did Jesus say when he was on the cross? He said to the man there on the cross, he said, Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom. He said, today you'll be with me where? In paradise. Well, where did the Lord go on that day? The Bible says right after he died, he descended into the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. And Hebrews and 1 Peter says that he went down there and preached to the spirits in prison. So what he did basically was he went down there to the believers and said, hey, it didn't give us the words, he said, but he preached the gospel to them because it says that even those...
Everything you hoped for has now come true,
yeah,
essentially.
Yes, he said, here's the one you've been waiting on, the promised Messiah, I am he. And he preached the gospel to them, it tells us again in Peter and in Hebrews. So, and then it says after 3 days, Ephesians chapter 4, he led captivity captive. That is, those that were captive in paradise, he led them captive and brought them out. They came back up to the surface of the earth. At this point, they were just spirits. Nobody had a body yet. And that's why... some of them got up out of the grave because they came up out of the earth with all the other saints, Abraham, Elijah, everyone else, and they entered their bodies. So here's the first thing to answer. They did not get their, nobody has their new body yet, it would appear, Chick, in scripture. It looks like that's going to happen at the rapture of the church. So everybody didn't come up and have a new body that could even walk into Jerusalem. They were just spirits with the Lord. So literally, while the Lord was walking the earth those 40 days, all the other saints throughout history were with him. You just couldn't see him. Elijah, Elisha, David, they were all there. Just couldn't see him. They didn't have their body yet. So who were the ones that got up and walked in? Well, we don't know for sure, but it would appear that they were those that had just died at that moment. And they literally died, left their body, and they're heading down. Hey, guys, going the wrong way. Turn around, come right back up. And for whatever the reason, before their bodies had decayed, the Lord allowed them to re-enter into their bodies. And they got up and went into town and, share the gospel with somebody, their family. I don't know what happened.
And then they go back in or what? Yeah,
I think they probably had to go lay back down somewhere and then leave their body again to join the rest of the saints. And then it says when he ascended back up into heaven, he's the door to heaven. They all would have gone with him back up into heaven. And now when we die, we all go to be with heaven, to be into heaven, to be with the Lord. So again, no, do they have their new bodies? Did everybody get their new body? No, just those that had their old body and their spirit, Lord allowed for whatever the reason for them to go in that old body and to do something. And then they either had to go lay back down or we don't know. But it would appear that we get our new bodies in at the rapture of the church. It says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that it says those who died first, those who are the dead in Christ will rise first. They're dead in Christ, that is in their bodies. They'll rise first. What does that mean? Haven't they already risen? Yes, they're with the Lord. So the implication would be they'll get their new body. So they'll rise, get their new body. Then we who are alive and remain will go to meet them in the air in a split second after that. Even faster than a split second, twinkling of an eye, which there's actually a scientific term for. And then we'll all, I believe, have our new bodies at that moment. So, no, they didn't have their new bodies yet. I think they entered into their old bodies as they came up out of paradise. And then for whatever the reason, I don't know why the Lord let them do that. But here's the thing, Chick. Go back and read Luke 16 and read about the rich man and Lazarus. That gives you a picture of Hades and paradise down there. It's very, you can see they could see each other. They could talk to each other. There's a lot going on there. And that's where it talks about in the Old Testament that, you know, they descended to the pit. You know, when it talks about Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, the earth opened up and they fell into the pit. Greg, they fell alive. Their bodies, they went straight down into the pit. And they would have, of course, lost their body at that point because they would have died and their body would have been absorbed in the earth and their spirit would have been there in Hades. But here's the thing.
the express route.
Here's the question. Here's the question. What about those, though, that die unsaved? Where are they? Because we know that paradise was emptied out. Ephesians chapter 4, he led captivity captive.
But there's another component.
What about Hades, where the rich man was, and where everybody that dies today? Here's the thing. People that have died throughout world history, even today, if an unbeliever dies today, they will descend to the heart of the earth and go into Hades. It's a very miserable, hot place, not hell yet. That's the lake of fire. That'll happen later on. But they're being held there until their judgment, will they be thrown into the lake of fire. So the wild thought is, the rich man from rich man Lazarus, he's still down there right now.
Yeah.
And everyone else that has died is still down there right now that doesn't know Christ. And if someone dies today that doesn't know Christ or tomorrow that doesn't know Christ, they descend to the heart of the earth in a place called Hades. We, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord, we're with him if we die. So now we go to be in heaven with him. So a great question and so much theology there. And so I know I covered a lot, but it's exciting stuff.
Pastor Mark, our next question comes from Aaron, enjoying Signs of the Times down south in Maryville.
Yes.
His question is about the revived Roman Empire and the Antichrist. He says, I have a two-part question. Why do you think the Antichrist will come from Europe? If it's because of the revived Roman Empire, couldn't that be viewed symbolically as a nation that has global influence, strong military, and a good economy?
Yeah, let me first of all say that there's part of this. Yes, Aaron, you have a good point here I want to make. Look, when I talk about the Antichrist coming out of Europe, there's a little bit of personal opinion there, but let me explain why. But first of all, let me say this. A lot of times I equate Europe with the Roman Empire. So when I say Europe, I'm saying Roman Empire. And when I say Roman Empire, I'm saying Europe. If you want to get technical about it, which your question does, really there needs to be a parsing there because the Roman Empire included all of the world at the known time, which included what we call today the Middle East, but it was still the Roman Empire. So I call it the Roman Empire, but again, technically, yes, where that line is, you know, it breaks off, you leave the Middle East and head into Europe, that would be a designation that you could make. And let me say this. Do I believe the Antichrist could come out of the Middle East? Absolutely. I think he can come out of anywhere. Here's my main thing, and I may even be careful how I say this from now on. I believe he's going to be out of the revived Roman Empire. I'll say that. He's going to be out of the revived Roman Empire, which included Europe and the Middle East and that whole region over there. So whether or not he comes from the Middle East or Europe, I can't say for sure. But I oftentimes will say Europe because I believe that, you know, there's a lot of indications here, and only God knows where, but there are some, you know, I want to be careful how I say this. It almost seems like there are some hints that he could be out of Greece. It talks about in Daniel, the horns there from that was broken up into four parts of Greece, and then they broke up into the world, and then a little horn came out of them. And so you could say, well, that's because they spread out over the Middle East and part of Europe as well. That could be possible, but it definitely has a connection to Alexander and all that kind of stuff. Whether or not how far it spreads would be the question. So I guess I'll sum it up by saying, could it be literally Europe? Yes. Could it be the Middle East? I do believe it's possible. It could be the Middle East as well. I do not at this point believe that it would be necessarily, it's interesting when you think about America, America is now part of the world system. So America will be absorbed into this revived Roman Empire. But where our place would be in that, I don't know. There's a lot of things I look at and I go, well, America, it looks like nobody in the world has the power that we have. And I'm going to say the Antichrist comes out of America, or the America will be leading the new Roman Empire. But it is interesting, a little bit of an enigma to think that he's going to be a god of war, the Bible says, and have great power. And right now, America leads the world in that. My thought has been that when this person rises up out of Europe and or out of the Middle East, both could be possible, Aaron, that somehow he's going to commandeer the military might of America. And it might be when these toes come together, Daniel chapter 2, all the nations making this conglomerate, that we certainly President Trump would not do that. But if we get a new president in that would be willing to turn our power and authority over, we've seen in the past, even national leaders, even our U.S. leaders willing to let American forces come under the U.N.'s leadership. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we've already shown a willingness to yield some of our authority. And so let's say we get somebody in here after President Trump, and the pendulum swings way to the left because the left is really mad because President Trump has been so right on these things. And so, to the far right in that sense politically, that maybe you might have a leader there that says, you know what, if some new world leader rose up out of Europe or the Middle East, he might say, you know what, we need to come together as a world to save the world, and we now are going to just give our resources, the American military might, to you to run how you want because you have such wisdom and such knowledge, which he will have amazing wisdom and knowledge given by Satan himself. So, American power could be brought into it that way, or something could happen that we don't know. So there are a lot of questions that are still to be answered. Could it be some other country that has power and a good economy, Aaron? The answer is yes. It's just that America is the one leading the way. But I don't really see America as that, as being the leader of that at this point. So I think it's going to be over there, either out of Europe or, yes, good question, to parse it out of possibly the Middle East as well. I kind of still have a little bit of an eye on the whole ancient Greece area, but we'll see. Only God knows.
Okay. Well, if you've got a prophecy question like these folks did, you've got 2 weeks to figure it out. And once you get your question together, just head over to thewaymedia.net, click Signs of the Times, and you will see where you can ask Pastor Mark your prophecy question that he will answer when he returns on the 26th. All right, as we get into our smorgasbord of everything awful, pestilence, plagues, disasters, and corruption, we come to our first article here, Fox News, dated September 1st. Afghanistan hit by a magnitude 6.0 earthquake and dozens feared injured. And the thing to remember when we look at these third world countries, to speak, and earthquakes that maybe don't sound really big, when you think of the infrastructure over there and the construction quality and the rules and regulations to make sure things don't fall down if there is an earthquake, there isn't any of that over there, really. And so a 6.0 could be like a 9.0 here.
Oh, it's huge. Listen, 6.0 is huge anywhere, but you're right, Greg, with the kind of construction they have over there, way worse. And the main key here is, this is Matthew 24. The Lord said in the last days you're going to see more earthquakes happening because of the groaning of the earth. He says a magnitude 6.0 earthquake struck eastern Afghanistan near its shared border with Pakistan late Sunday, killing up to 800 people and injuring thousands more. When we have earthquakes here, you don't hear of any deaths. I mean, I don't know when the last time I heard about a death from an earthquake here, but because of the construction. The quake was reported at 11:47 p.m., some 17 miles east-northeast of the city of Jalalabad,
that's a great word, isn't it?
Jalalabad, Nangarhar province, that's another good name too. It's not a good place to be in, trust me, but great name. The U.S. Geological Survey said, footage showed rescuers taking injured people on stretchers from collapsed buildings and into helicopters as people frantically dug through rubble with their hands. A Taliban government spokesman said at the press conference that most of the casualties were in the Kunar province. Now, Greg, this is interesting. Note this.
Hmm.
One of the deadliest natural disasters to strike Afghanistan in recent memory occurred on October 7th, 2023, when a 6.3, a little bit larger, struck the South Central Asian nation, followed by strong aftershocks. Afghanistan is a big hater and enemy of Israel. Do you remember what happened on October 7th, 2023? That's when, again, the Gazans went in and raped and murdered and killed all those people in Israel. So again, it's sometimes, you know, you look at these things, you go, yeah, well, that's just chance. Well, I'll leave that up between you and the Lord. But I mean, some of these things that happen, I find very interesting in a lot of world events, knowing how God views Israel. God said, I'll bless those who bless Israel, and I will curse those who curse them. And it's very, very interesting. And so either way, you're going to see more and more earthquakes the closer we get to the end times, because the earth will be groaning, Romans 22.
Our next article comes from Fox News, September 1st. It says that the CDC study has found that the Chagas, however right. you want to pronounce that, disease is spreading in the United States, and primarily, of all places, California.
Yeah, the study said in the CDC Journal Emerging of Infectious Diseases that the human cases of Chagas disease have been confirmed in 8 states, leading them to recommend that the disease is endemic. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention defines a disease as endemic when there is a, and I quote, constant presence or unusual prevalence. So not epidemic, but endemic in a population within a specific geographic area. Now, it's interesting. Remember, again, Matthew 24 says you're going to see more and more of these type of pestilence, plagues and pestilence rising up. So we're going to see more of these. This one is not hugely horrible, but it's still, you know, you get sick. Chagas disease is a parasitic illness spread by triatomine bugs, also known as kissing bugs. But I would encourage you, do not kiss them. No matter how cute they are, no matter how nice their lips look, do not kiss these bugs. They are not good. The disease is transmitted when feces from bugs infected with the T. cruzi parasite enter a person's body, typically through a bite wound or contact with the eyes or mouth. And I quote, Chagas can lead to fever, fatigue, rash, body aches, and lymph node swelling, and later can lead to digestive issues, heart problems, and neurological involvement, Siegel warns. So it's a serious thing, but it's not like you're going to get it and suddenly die. But yeah, it is serious and can affect you in those ways. And either way, you're going to see more and more of this. Again, the Bible warned us, it's going to happen.
The Blaze Media is providing our next article. Silicon Valley, quote-unquote, Christian goes viral for chilling AI Antichrist theory. The question is, should we listen to him?
Yeah, this is interesting. You're going to hear a lot of, you know, it's funny. You're going to hear a lot about AI connected to this kind of stuff. And I think that probably AI is going to be connected to the Antichrist, not the way this guy thinks. But I think you're going to see this technology being used by the Antichrist, because the AI technology is going to be able to track and trace people just down to the nth degree around the world. And that's exactly what the Antichrist is going to be able to do. Now, Peter Thiel, he's a strange guy, might be the biggest head scratcher in Silicon Valley. He's a billionaire, a Trump Vance supporting Republican, and a married gay man, a transhumanist enthusiast, and drumroll ready, a Christian. First of all, let me say, you can't be homosexual and be a Christian. So I want to make that comment, because there's a lot of confusion in the church today. The Bible makes it very clear that those that practice homosexuality will not go to heaven. It doesn't mean if you've ever done a homosexual act or ever been involved in that. It means as a lifestyle. If you choose to live that way,
unrepentant,
and claim that's who you are, the Bible says you can't go to heaven. Yeah. So sadly, he is deceived by calling himself a Christian, but there he does. Anyway, he's publicly declared that Christianity is true. This is so weird. And that Christ is the best role model. He's deeply involved in various Christian organizations, and yet he's openly admitted his affinity for transhumanism, believing that that's a mixture of man and machine.
Yes.
Believing that the future of humanity is a world where a man conquers mortality by fusing with technology. It's a twisted, human-centric version of a transformed, glorified body Christians are promised after death, said Blaze TV host Ali Beth Stuckey. Recently, Thiel has been in the headlines for his seminars on the Antichrist, which are a bizarre blend of theology and his controversial views on technology and transhumanism. In short, Thiel speculates that Revelation's beast will be deeply connected to artificial intelligence. Now, again, I agree with that statement. I think there's going to be a connection. Whether a human leveraging AI for control, and I think obviously we know for a fact from Scripture it'll be a human, a pseudo-human system, or an AI-driven global order, well, that's going to be also in there. Thiel is confident that artificial intelligence will play a key role in the end times. In an interview with New York Times opinion columnist Ross Douthat, on the Interesting Times broadcast, Thiel described the Antichrist as a potential systemic threat rather than a literal individual, suggesting it could manifest as a one-world totalitarian state that promises peace and safety but suppresses freedom. The Bible outlines the Antichrist, however, as a man of lawlessness, so a person, man of lawlessness. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 is where it talks about that, who will exercise authority over, and I quote, every tribe and people and language and nation, that's out of Revelation 13, and eventually declare himself to be God. He is the evil harbinger of Christ's second coming. So again, I do believe that he's going to be connected to AI, using AI, but whenever we come to any kind of questions, the Bible is always the ultimate authority. And again, he's going to be a person, a man of lawlessness. He's not going to be, you know, just, you know, a world system. He's going to use the world system and use the one world government, but he will definitely be a man of that's at some point possessed by Satan himself, I believe. And so it's interesting, you know, how close he is and yet so far.
Well, you know, what's interesting, Pastor Mark, when he talks about transhumanism, you know, really that is biblically supported through the mark.
Yeah.
Because Satan has to replicate the oneness that we have with the Lord by way of the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
He's going to do that by way of the mark. But then the transhumanism even descends in what you were talking about at the beginning of the show with the nanobots.
Yeah.
Where you talk about machine and man becoming as one. Yeah. If you had nanobots in you that were kind of like regenerating things and in new life, think about the new life that we have in Christ because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And now the enemy could be using nanobots. And I'm not saying that that will be, but based on what you talked about at the beginning of the show,
Talk
about him mocking or imitating that indwelling and that newness, if that was really able to be pulled off.
Well, again, I heard Dennis Swick, who's again on World News Briefing, talking about, you know, some of this nanobot stuff. And he was saying some of the same stuff. I mean, you think about, he was even going so far as to say it might be that the mark is going to be something so desperately wanted by everyone because it's going to promise greater intelligence and greater physical health. It'll be like, oh, I can't wait to get the mark because I'm going to be smarter. I'm going to be healthier. All these bots are going to be working and we're going to like mingle man with machine. So it might not be, of course, he says he's going to make everyone do it. So even the ones that don't are going to have to.
There's going to be a lot of people that aren't going to want it.
But yeah. I mean, there's going to be a lot of people that think, you know what, this is a great thing. Let's do it.
Wow. All right. Let's end our show today on some good news coming by way of ChristianPost.com, dated September 3rd. A Florida county approves adding the Ten Commandments to government buildings.
Yes. Very interesting here. Florida County has approved a recommendation to add copies of the Ten Commandments to a display of historical documents in government buildings. The Collier County Board of County Commissioners voted 4-1 last week to approve the item 10B following hours of debate and public comment, both for and against the proposal. A recommendation to display the Ten Commandments as part of a larger exhibit depicting the foundations of American law and government in the appropriate publicly accessible locations on county property to be selected by the county manager read the proposal. Collier County Commissioner Chris Hall, in District 2, who sponsored the recommendation, told the Christian Post that he was inspired to do so after speaking with the 87-year-old local school board member. I thought it was a great idea to just encourage people to bring about the acknowledgement of moral values, virtue, humility, and getting back to what made this country great in the beginning. The commissioner told the CP that he was super pleased that the proposal was approved, that he never anticipated the resistance that came about. Boy, I certainly would. And was actually shocked that people would resist just a simple measure. No, they're going to resist because it lifts up the name of God and it exposes mankind's sin. So it doesn't surprise me at all. I'm surprised that he was really surprised. But either way, I'm glad they're doing that. That's awesome. That's exciting. But anytime you try to exalt the word of God, you're going to have opposition. And so, but that's good news. We're glad to hear they're doing that. You're going to see the word of God. And again, give the kids something other than all the ridiculous nonsense and evil they're getting everywhere else. But you know,
no wonder they're confused and depressed.
That's right. And again, speaking of confusion and depression and where we are in the world, as we come to the end of the broadcast, I want to just invite anyone to come into the kingdom today that wants. I've just been thinking about the kingdom this whole broadcast and so filled with joy. Excited about the Lord coming back and what God's going to do. It's going to be such a joyous day. Your sins are forgiven. You're going to be forever in the kingdom with Jesus Christ, your Lord and King, in rejoicing in total joy and peace and harmony. And so, if you right now know that you need God, you know that you need your sins forgiven, and God has been convicting you, whether from this show or just in life, the Bible says that Jesus Christ, God in human form, died for you on a cross. He came to the earth as a man, God in human form. He lived here to live a perfect sinless life with perfect sinless blood. He went to the cross. He was nailed to the cross. His blood spilled out, which life is in the blood. So his life drained out of him. And literally, God said, I will accept that sacrifice for all of your sins. All the things you've done wrong, somebody has to pay for it. I can't just ignore it, God said. Somebody's got to pay. So he sent his own son. His own son paid the payment for all of us. And if you'll simply ask him to forgive you, believe that he died for your sins and spilled his blood for you, the Bible says you'll be born again and you'll be saved. I urge you, make that decision right now. Pray to the Lord. God, forgive me. I know I'm a sinner. I believe you died for me on the cross. I repent of my sins. I turn from them. I turn to you and give your life to Jesus Christ. And the Bible says you'll be born again. God's spirit will inhabit you. Your sins are forgiven. And now you're going to have your place in the kingdom of God. And then I encourage you, start reading the book of John and praying every day. Read maybe a chapter in the morning and pray a little bit. Get into the word, get into prayer, do it every day. Find a good church that teaches the Bible and get plugged into a good fellowship, because the enemy's going to want to pull you right back in the world. And if you're here locally in Knoxville, you have nowhere to go, we'd love to have you at Calvary Chapel Knoxville here on Governor John Sevier Highway. But either way, find a good place that's going to minister to you and pour into you.
Great. Pastor Mark, thank you. As always, we will see you live in 2 weeks. And folks, we'll see you next week with the Prophecy Pros and the week after that. And we're back live on the 26th for more Signs of the Times right here on WIAM.